What a joy it is to be a parent. What a blessing from God. And as we welcome you here today, and as we encourage parents and families and this congregation, it is a huge responsibility. I have three daughters, and I have three son-in-laws, and I love them all. And I have two grandsons. So I've been a little bit down this parenting road. And I have two stories that I want to share with you. And the thing that I want these parents today to leave here with is I want you to do Deuteronomy 6:7. I want you to write Deuteronomy 6:7 down, and I want you to put it somewhere in your house where you are reminded of that scripture. So let me read that. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Not much of the day is left that you're not supposed to talk to your children about God. When my girls were small, I would take them to school, and there was a missionary from Brazil named Alan Dutton, who is a family friend, and he would come visit us a lot. So one morning, as I took the girls to school, Alan rode with us. And we did our routine, very, very common routine. We would sing a song. We would sing, Humble Yourselves in the Sight of the Lord. And I encourage you parents, if you want to teach your children how to sing, sing an echo song. You do one verse, they do the next. They repeat you. Do that echo song. They can learn it. They know the words. They're listening to you. So we sang a song and we laughed. I don't know if Stacy knows this part of the trip, but once we turned off of Suggs and got on Rayburn, it was a straight shot. When I had a four-speed truck, the girl sitting in the middle would shift the gear from third to fourth. But before I did that, I would put it in third gear, and then I'd have one of the girls that wasn't running the shifter that day hit the turbo boost button on the dash that didn't exist. But as a family, we knew that turbo boost button was there. So Tarika would hit the turbo boost button, and I would gun that thing in third gear, and we would take off, and they'd go back in their seats, and then Cal would reach up and grab that third gear and put it back into fourth. And we laughed. And we told stories. And when they got out of the truck to go into school, I said to them, every time I let them out, who are you representing today? And they said, Jesus. And then who are you representing today? The Murdoch name. Okay? We have that responsibility to put our children to understand who they are on this earth to represent. When we got back home that trip that Alan was with us, he stopped the truck and he said, look at me. And he said, what you just did is the most important thing you will do all day. Anything else past that is just life. Teach your children. So that night, Alan led a Bible study, and anytime he was in our home, we were going to have a Bible study. And so he had a manner of, we would all sit at the table, and he would open his Bible, and he would go, students? And that was the tone that we were to get focused on the word. And what did he read to my family that night? This scripture. So this scripture got stuck in my head from that ride to school. I hope that this talk this morning sticks it in your head. You have a responsibility to impress on your children these commands. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. And you know, we now have access to the Bible anywhere, anytime on our phones. If you're going to school, put the phone in the back with someone that can read and tell them to read a chapter in the Bible. The second story that I wanted to tell you was one about a book that our family bought from a traveling salesman, okay? And it's called Beautiful Bible Stories, and its copyright is 64. Stacy last year got on eBay and on Amazon and found three copies that we bought copies of to give to the girls for Christmas, okay? So as a family, we would read this book. The Bible stories were very easy to read. And as the girls got old enough to read, they would read the story. And as they got into the book, we actually had also artwork inside the book. And I'm not going to try to show you, but you can see that there's artwork inside the book. And what we found out as a family is that that artwork became a conversation piece for the young ones who still couldn't digest everything, okay? So we would put up the artwork and we'd say, "This is The Last Supper by Da Vinci. It's a famous painting. It's over 500 years old. Where's Jesus in the picture?" And they start looking at the images and start thinking about which one is Jesus. Who are the people to the left and right? They're his disciples. We would show this painting by block, and it's hard to see on that screen, but Jesus is between the columns, and that's Peter with his head downcast because he knows that this is not a good day. And we try to explain the characters in the art. When we put up this picture of the crucifixion, it may be hard for a kid to understand that, but these art images are there to help us explain some of these things, and we used it to show that Jesus was put on a cross, and we can see the Roman guard pointing up at him. And this, the burial of Christ by block, would be a point in our family's night where Tarika, who could read, would read a story, and then we would go to the artwork and flip through it. And Calla at that time, who couldn't read, would go, "Please, let me tell the story about when Jesus got dead." And me and Stacy were pretty shocked the first time she said that. And she said, "This is a picture of when Jesus got dead." And what the editors of this book don't know is that you had to flip a page to get to this scene. And then Calla, with the drama of a Hollywood actress, would go, "But he didn't stay dead. He's alive." And what joy that would bring parents to hear their children understand that Jesus is alive. I don't know how young people need to be to learn this stuff, but in Deuteronomy, we're said to talk about it all the time. And if we're not talking about a living Jesus, we're missing the target. Okay? I took a picture of the last page of the book and tried to share that with you. As a family, on October 28th of 1991, we read this cover to cover. And then we read it a second time, and we finished it on July 16th, 1995. And if you look at Jacqueline's signature there above Stacy's, Jacqueline would have been 4 years old plus a couple weeks. So she left her mark on this book as well. So my encouragement to you is, talk to your kids about Jesus. My encouragement to you is, read to them about Jesus. My encouragement to you is to put benchmarks down, just like you're going to put their height on a board in your house. Make sure the board can move with you as you move, because you're going to see it as a treasured possession. And benchmark what you're doing with your kids and how they're learning about God. Do you think Stacy would let me give this book to anybody? No. That's our family history, And hopefully, my grandsons will get to sign their names that they read through it too. Okay? We're going to call the children and parents up first. We want Charlie. We want you to come up first. And Lindsay. And Jan is sick with a cough today, so Stacy's going to give the presents out. And then, Lindsay, when you get up here, stand and wait. And then we're going to have, in a few minutes, the grandparents come down. Okay? Next, we want Conley to come up. Jeremy and Becca. Okay? We're getting smarter at this. Did you notice that we did the talk first and then got the parents and the babies up here this time? We're getting better at this. Next, we want Maddie Sue to come up, Nathan and Andrea Basil. Okay. And then Myla and Drew and Minnie Nolan. And William, Byron, and Amanda Peacher are not here right now, so they're not here this Sunday. So, church, can we give these families a big amen? Or are we going to help them grow these kids? Okay, grandparents, will you please come forward and join your families? Okay, since I'm a grandparent, I can say grandparents are really important. Grandparents are a big part of the circle of a child's development. I can't tell you how much my grandparents meant to me and how they were a part of my behaving and learning about Jesus. Okay? So, grandparents, you're part of the circle.
That's right.
Okay, at this time, we'd like our elders to come forward and we'd like our elders to pray with these families.
I'll take it from here. I am so thrilled to be part of a church family that is willing to do things like this. Thank you. We appreciate the extended families who are guests here with us today, some granddads and grandmoms and maybe some aunts and uncles and cousins, nieces, nephews, whatever the case may be. Thank you so much for joining us today and being here to encourage our young families in their walk with Jesus. So glad, good day. I'm glad you're here. Appreciate so much the words that Rick shared with us earlier and the challenge he gave, not only just to the four parents who were standing up here, but to all the parents and grandparents and caregivers who are gathered in our midst this morning. Rick was not just talking to those who were on the stage today. He was talking to any and all of us who are able to speak into the lives of our children, our sons, our daughters, our grandsons, our granddaughters, our nieces, our nephews, whatever the case may be. We all have a big job to do. That of raising our sons and daughters, our grandsons and our granddaughters to become disciples who trust and follow Jesus. I agree with something Alan Dutton said years ago to Rick on that day after dropping his kids off at school. Nothing we do as parents, nothing we do as parents is more important than instilling within our sons and daughters a love for God and a desire to trust and follow Jesus. By all means, teach your children how to fish, how to bait a hook, how to roller skate, and how to ride a bike. Teach your kids how to hit a baseball or a softball, how to kick a soccer ball, and how to pass a football or tackle somebody who's got one in their hands. Teach them how to dribble a basketball and how to hit a three-point shot. Teach them how to play an instrument. Teach them how to study and how to make good grades. Teach them how to sew and how to cook bacon and make a BLT. And how to do 101 other such worthy activities. But above all, above everything else you teach them to love God and to trust and follow Jesus. Nothing we do as parents, nothing we teach our children to do as parents is more important than helping them to love God and follow Jesus. The primary job of every Christian parent is not to raise a great athlete or to raise a great scholar or to raise a world-renowned performer or vocalist. But rather, the primary job of every Christian parent in this room is to disciple your son or your daughter, to model for them what it means to follow Jesus and to implant within them the seeds of faith needed so that one day they want to follow Jesus themselves. And so that one day they want to be changed by Jesus as they have seen us be changed by Jesus. And so that one day they will want to be the hands and feet of Jesus as they have seen us become the hands and feet of Jesus. And no one is better positioned to do that than those of you who are parents. So, I want to urge those of you who are parents, who have the opportunity, the privilege of speaking into the lives of young people, take your God-given responsibility of discipling your children to follow Jesus seriously. Our pledge to you as parents, as a church family, is to do everything we can to help you do that. We know it's not easy. You're not going to be encouraged to rear your children to love and follow Jesus from people in the world who don't know Jesus. But hopefully you will get that here. Hopefully you will get that from your church family, from what we sometimes refer to as your faith community. As your church family, we want to encourage you and help you teach your children to know and love and follow Jesus. Most everything that we're doing now as a church family is in some way connected to helping all of us become disciples who are following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, and involved in the work of Jesus. And so our pledge to you who are parents of young children is to try to do everything that we can to help you do everything you can to ensure that your children one day become disciples of Jesus. I don't know if some of you know this or not, but we have classes for children. We have a children's minister who organizes activities for our children. We have a youth minister who organizes activities for some of our older youth. And so we provide Bible classes and activities for your children where they can hear the stories you're telling them at home here and be reinforced in those stories, and also to build relationships with peers who share the same faith. If your son or daughter who's still living at home with you is not involved in a Bible class where he or she can learn about God and Jesus and hear those stories that are so important in facilitating faith in Jesus, do whatever it takes to get them involved. I'm going to speak real directly here. Some of you may not like what I'm about to say, but I think God would want me to say it. Don't let your children see you rearrange your life so that they can play a sport or be involved in an extracurricular activity at school, but then see you make little or no effort to see that they get involved in an activity that will feed them and enhance their faith. I'm just going to speak real plain. If you're going to move heaven, if you're going to move hell or high water to get them to practice, let them see you make the same effort to get them to an activity that will feed their spirit. See, here's what will happen. If you don't do that, they'll figure out pretty quick what really matters to you and what really doesn't. And they'll get that from you. Get them around some kids whose parents are also teaching them to love Jesus. Get them around some kids who are trying to live a good life and instill within them a love for Jesus and a love for His people. We provide classes for adults as well. There are presently two classes meeting on this very topic of how can we as parents be better disciple makers of our children. One of them meets upstairs. It's taught by David Taylor. One of them meets downstairs. It's taught by me and some of the guys who help every once in a while. If you need some help knowing how to disciple your children, check out one of those classes. Not just for the material that's being shared, but for the relationships that are being forged with other parents who are also trying to rear their children to love Jesus as well. Those relationships can be invaluable. And here's one other thing, brand new, starting Tuesday night. You'll see an announcement about this in the handout bulletin that you've been given this morning. And continuing on each fourth Tuesday night, women of all ages are invited to participate in a meal and then a study in a multi-generational group. And so here's an opportunity for some of our older sisters who are mature in the faith to mentor and disciple younger sisters in the faith so that they can in turn be better disciples and be better at discipling their kids. Jan Hildebrand and Jessica Molay are in charge of this activity. Is Jan up here or is she downstairs? Stand up, Jan. We act like everybody here knows who you are. Not everybody does. Where's Jessica? Back over here. Come on, Jessica. Stand up. There you go. These two ladies are in charge of this activity. If you've got a question about it, if you want to come, if you want to help, see them. Check that out. And hopefully something like this may be offered soon for some of the men in our family, in addition to many of other things that are already going on, which are feeding us and helping us, encouraging us to be better disciples of Jesus. Okay, here's my plea, and this is the last, pretty much the last thing I'll say. May we strive as parents and a church family to do everything we can to ensure that these little ones who God has placed in our care will grow up to love and follow Jesus. Come on. Amen. Yeah. May we be a church family who does everything we can to facilitate and encourage and teach and prepare all of these children that God has placed in our care. Look, if you've got a crying baby in this church and you think they're bothering me, I just want you to know they're not. You want to know what the saddest sound in the world is? An assembly like this where there's not a baby to be found. An assembly like this where the average age of those in attendance is over 70. That is sad. So if you've got a baby and that baby cries in here sometimes, man, don't worry about it. We are happy to have crying babies in this church. Here's another challenge. As of right now, we don't have any babies coming for next year, so some of y'all need to get busy so we can have a baby dedication ceremony for next year. All right. Bottom line, here we go. Bottom line. We want to be a church who makes disciples in our families, on our campus, in our community, and beyond. May God empower us through His Spirit who dwells within us, both as individuals and collectively as a faith community, to be faithful to that task. Amen. Amen. Bless somebody sitting next to you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.